It's kind of funny when Sylvia and Carol were trying to do a duet together, they were kind of deep. So maybe you should have Ryan come up and you guys could do a trio. But it's great. It's great to know that God can use our voices in whatever condition they are to bless people's hearts. Isn't that true? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, and we just thank you that we love you enough to know that you have something special for us this morning. Whether it be from the singing, or whether it be from this message, or whether it be from one of the hymns that we sang earlier. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that you will touch our hearts in a special way, that you allow us to be used by you in whatever we receive from this service today. And we're going to give you all praise and all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, we've been doing a devotional for the kids, the teenagers, during the week. And every day, except for Saturday and Sunday, I'll write a devotional. I'll put it on Facebook, or I'll text it to them on their phone, because I found that a lot of kids don't have Facebook, and that's one way to communicate to them. And so I went through all of the devotionals that I had and said, okay, God, what do you have for us this morning? And this was one of them that I sent to them, sort of a shorter version, but it has a lot of power to it, and we find it in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to focus primarily on verse 15. Which says this: you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in some translations, that word spirit of sonship is actually the word adoption. So we have been adopted into the family of God. And Paul was writing to the church of Rome, and we understand and we know that mostly the people that had a relationship with God were the people from Israel, the Jews. And when Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, we as Gentiles then became part of that family by adoption. We were grafted into that vine, the scriptures tell us. And when we look at that, and Paul says in that small verse, in verse 15 in chapter 8, he says, we are no longer slaves, but we have this adoption into the family of God. Now, the Roman people understood slavery, because every time they captured and conquered a city, they brought people back to be their slaves. So they understood what that meant, and that concept meant. And we see it a lot of times in movies where they have slaves, and we see it a lot of times during especially the Easter celebration time where they have Spartacus come out and some of the other movies that depict the slaves that have been captured by the Romans. But Paul says to us, and he says to the Romans as well, that we no longer are slaves, but we are a part of this family of God through adoption. And I look at that word, and I kind of focused on that word, and I said, well, what does it mean, that word adoption? What does it mean? Well, we have some friends who have adopted children throughout the years. And one of our friends, they actually went all the way to China to get a child, because it wasn't working here in the United States. Every road they went through, they just met one obstacle after another. And they had found out that there were children in China who needed families to love them and care for them. And so they went to China to adopt a little girl. And we know about Stephen Curtis Chapman and how he's adopted. Many of his children were adopted from China. We know of families here who have adopted children here in the United States. And those children are loved and treated as if they were one of their own. One of our friends, Steve and Sherry, is their name. They adopted a little boy. And later on, they adopted a teenage girl. And it was interesting to see this relationship that they had, because Steve or Kevin told me that when they went to see this little boy, he was a holy terror. And they went back home, and Sherry said, "I don't know if this is a good idea, Kevin. I really don't." And Kevin says, "No, God has brought this little one in our lives for a reason." He was 3 years old. "God has brought this little one in our lives for a reason, and we're going to bring him home. We're going to love him, and we're going to take care of him as if he is of our own." That little guy now is probably 15, 16 years old. We saw a picture of him. We couldn't believe how tall he's gotten, how handsome he is, and how much he looks like Kevin, even though they're not blood relatives, but he looks just like Kevin. We, as believers, have been adopted into this family of God. And it's a wonderful thing that we know. We no longer are slaves to sin, but we're adopted into God's family. And so what does it mean to be adopted? Well, we see these occurrences that happen with adoption. Number one, someone cared enough to make us a part of their family. In Logan's life, that's Kevin and Sherry's little boy. In his life, Kevin and Sherry cared enough to take Logan into their lives and to make him a part of their family. And held on to him and loved him and cared enough for him. And in Ephesians 5:2, we read this. "And in the walk of love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us and offered a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell." We have been adopted into the family of God. Our friends who went to China, flew all the way to China. Actually, Sylvia went with the woman to go and get the baby. And when they got to the adoption center that the baby was at, or they saw the children, Sylvia almost packed one in her suitcase and brought one back with her because she just didn't want to leave one there. And when we went to Peru, there were so many children we wanted to put in our pocket and bring home because of the conditions that they lived in. It breaks your heart. And they flew all the way to China to get this little girl. And we used to call her Baby Bethany. We can't call her that anymore. Bethany's 16, 17 years old now and quite a beautiful young lady. But we as believers have been grafted into this vine, have been adopted into the family of God through what Christ did for us on the cross. We ourselves could not make it to God, could not have a relationship with God unless Christ died on the cross for our sins. And Ephesians 5:2 tells us that it's because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us that we are now adopted into the family of God, that we now become part of that family. God loved us enough to make us a part of his family. And that's why we are adopted into his family. That's why we are part of who he is. That's why we can call him Abba Father. And loosely translated, Abba means daddy. And our kids call us all kinds of names as fathers, don't they? There's some names that we can't repeat. But there are some others that are sweet and kind. You know, they come up and they say, "Daddy." And of course, right away, when they say, "Daddy," we go, "What do you want?" You know? Well, I have some of the girls, one of them calls me El Padre. That's fine. Don't have a problem with that. One of them calls me Pops. And that's fine. Because I know that there is some sincerity there. And they feel comfortable enough in calling me that. And we, because we have been adopted into the family of God, we can call God, the Father, Daddy. And when we have a rough time, we can crawl up onto his lap and feel his breath upon our cheeks. Because we have that relationship with him. The second thing that we find out about adoption is that we accept the fact that we have become a part of that family. If you hang out with any kids that have been adopted into families, you start to automatically see how they pick up some of the characteristics of the families that they are adopted into. It's you can't tell whether, you know, one kid is biological or one kid is adopted, because they become so a part of the family that it just kind of melts into, they kind of melt into that family. And they become a real part of it. Us as believers and being adopted into God's kingdom and into God's family, we tend to, or we should, imitate Christ and imitate God. And in Philippians 2, 5 through 7, it says this: "Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, counted not the being of equality with God something to be grasped, but emptying himself and taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death, yes, even death on the cross." And so we see with this that we need to imitate Christ. That as part of God's family and as part of this adoption that we've come into, that we need to be like Jesus. In Ephesians 5:1, it says that we need to imitate God, be imitators of God as dear children. Adults and parents, our children follow our lead. They follow our example. I remember a commercial years and years ago. It hit me like a ton of bricks. This was before I was a father, but it's been in my mind ever since. There was a dad, he was walking down the road with his son, and he picked up a stick, and he took the stick, and he ran it across the picket fence. And right behind him was his little boy with a stick. And guess what he was doing? Taking the stick and rubbing it across the picket fence. They went up to a creek, and he took a stone, dad did, and chucked it into the river. Guess what the little boy did? Took the stone, chucked it into the river. Then him and dad sat down by a shade tree. Dad reached in his pocket and pulled out a pack of cigarettes. Took one out, laid it down. Guess what the little boy did? Reached down for the pack of cigarettes and picked it up. There's a song that plays in the country station. I only hear it because they play it at the office, and they do have some pretty unique songs. They have some that aren't all that great. And this one, I don't know who sings it, but he talks about his son riding in the front of the truck with him, and he told him that he couldn't play with his toy till his nuggets were gone. And he hit the brakes, and the fries flew all over the place, and the drink fell all over his lap, and his son said a four-letter word. And his son, he asked his son the question, "Where'd you learn to talk like that?" And then the chorus, "I'm watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo." Us as believers, we need to watch our Heavenly Father. And we need to do what He wants us to do. And we need to follow His example. And God is never going to set an example for us that will harm us. God will never set an example that is bad for us. And if we look in God's Word, in what His Word says, we see over and over and over again the things and the examples that God sets for us that we need to have in our hearts and minds. As children who are adopted into the kingdom of God and into God's family, we need to follow His example. We need to follow His lead. And do what He would want us to do. So that when people look at us, they say, "There goes a child of God." When you look at children, and you look at sons, and you look at fathers, and you say, "I know whose kid you are. I can tell. Because you look just like him." Or, "I know who your dad is because you've got his eyes." Or, "I know who your dad is because you got his attitude." As believers and as people who are adopted into the kingdom of God, we need to know and we need to understand that when people look at us, when they need to say, "I know who your daddy is God, because you act just like him. You're the spitting image of God." Our friends who have adopted children, They've been told that several times by people. Boy, he's just like you. Boy, she's just like you. Why? Because they live in that house and they see the example that those parents are doing, and they kids follow that example. And as believers who have been adopted into the family of God, we need to follow the example that God has given to us. And then finally, we see that we receive the benefits of adoption. In Romans 8:17, it says this: Now if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We share in the sufferings of Christ. I know what you're thinking. That doesn't sound like a very good benefit of being adopted into the family of God. But Romans tells us that we share in the sufferings that Christ has. We share in the persecution that Christ has. We share in the ridicule that Christ has. But we also share in the joy that Christ has. We share in the joy in the fact that one day we're going to go and be with our Heavenly Father in glory. And later on in Romans it says that the sufferings of the past do not compare to the glory that will be revealed in the kingdom of God. Also here in chapter 8, we read that verse. And so as believers and as children who are adopted into the family of God, we have a Father who loves us and wants us to be a part of His family. We have a God who wants us to become a part of that family and to follow His lead and to do what He wants us to do and the examples that He's set for us, so that we can join in the sufferings and the joy that Jesus Christ has. So important for us to understand and to know that as people who have been adopted into the family of God, we have all of the benefits and all the rights and all the things of people who are blood relatives. The same thing that the children of Israel have, the same joys, the same protections, the same love we have as believers because we've been adopted into that family. And God takes care of His own. This morning I wanted to share that with you, and I want you to know, as I said to the kids when I wrote this to them, that I want you to go out of here knowing and believing, and I want you to go out here living as sons and daughters of the King. That we should be proud of who we are. That we are adopted into the family of God. But there might be some folks here who have never received that. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up here and finalize your adoption with God this morning. I'm going to ask you to come and to kneel and give your heart to God. And someone will come up and help you to understand what all that's about. But as we sing this song, and it's 299, Rescue the Perishing, as we sing this hymn, I'm going to invite you to come and I'm going to invite you to kneel. And maybe you're going through some tough times and you're saying, you know what, I don't feel the Father like as closely as I should. And maybe I need to just come back and re-sign those adoption papers that I did so many years ago and totally give my heart and life to Jesus and to God. If you want to do that, then you come. You come over here to, which would be my left, your right, and just take time to be with God in that. But as we sing this hymn, I invite you to come and I invite you to kneel and I invite you to accept this adoption that God has for you. And you won't be disappointed, I promise you.